Man's politics don't change God's word.
This is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind, and coming to you from Riverside, California, podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the podcast that comes to you every single day, and we're reading the entire Bible in a year. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome. The website is lifespringmedia.com. How was your Christmas? I had intended to have a fresh episode for you yesterday, which would have meant that it would have had to have been recorded on Christmas Day. But the lovely Lady Leanne and I decided that I should take the day off, so I hope that's okay with you. Today is actually a very special day. And no, it isn't named after yours truly, though you might think so after I tell you what day it is. It's National Fruitcake Day, the day we celebrate the cake that just won't quit. What do you think about fruitcake? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Have you ever eaten any of it? I have to tell you, I am not a fan. This is also Gospel Saturday. We'll read chapters 26 through 28, which will complete that book, after which I'll have some comments, and then on this date in church history. Let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for our time together. We pray, God, that you would teach us today as we read. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Matthew 26. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man, and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful, and began to say to him, one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out against us as a robber, with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found no one, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ, who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Matthew chapter 27. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate the governor. Then, when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted, and they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered a whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among him by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put a charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Suddenly there was a severe earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were shaken and became like dead men because they were so afraid of him. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them, saying, "Greetings." They came to him, held on to his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. They will see me there." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After they had assembled with the elders and formed a plan, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came at night and stole his body while we were asleep. If this matter is heard before the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.'" So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story is told among the Jews to this day. So the seven disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came up and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." In regards to chapter 26, have you ever made a promise to God? Have you ever been so much in love with him that you just knew you would always be right in the center of his will? Or let's dial it back a notch, or 50. Have you ever made a promise to your spouse, or your significant other, or just a friend? Have you ever failed to deliver on that promise? When you break a promise made to a human being, that's one thing. Ideally, you apologize, they forgive you, and you move forward. But when you make a promise to God, well, that's big, right? In verse 33 of chapter 26, Peter says to Jesus, "Though they all fall away from you, I will never fall away." Well, Peter was one who often spoke from his heart. I identify a lot with Peter.
I think he really believed what he said, because emotionally at that moment he could not imagine forsaking Jesus. But guess what? Emotions ebb and flow. And when we speak or make commitments based on emotions, we're just going to be making promises we can't keep, which is what Peter did here. So let's get back to you and me now. I know I've made promises that over time I ended up breaking. Promises to people and promises to God. What about you? Sometimes the broken promises to people create broken relationships. What about broken promises to God? What happened when Peter broke his promise to never fall away? Well, first, when he realized what he had done, it broke his heart. And later, Jesus forgave Peter, and Peter went on to become one of the early church's leaders, as Jesus said he would. So when I break a promise to God, as soon as I realize it, I gotta tell you, I'm on my knees confessing and asking forgiveness. And just as he saw Peter's remorse and then forgave him, God sees my broken heart and he forgives me. Listen, God isn't surprised by our failures. Do you think that Jesus was surprised by Peter's failure? Of course not. As a matter of fact, as soon as Peter made his promise, Jesus said, "Well, actually, Peter, you're not only going to fall away, but you'll deny me 3 times tonight." So, if Jesus knew that Peter was going to fall then, do you think he knew that Peter was going to break that same promise a few nights earlier when he said that Peter was blessed because God had revealed to him that Jesus was the Son of the living God? No, of course, Jesus knew. Beloved, if you're busy beating yourself up because you failed, stop it. God can still use you. You didn't throw a monkey wrench in God's plans. He will forgive you if you ask him, and he'll accomplish his plan in your life. I promise. But more than that, he promises, and he never breaks a promise. Now let's talk about Matthew 27. You know, it's never fun to read about the suffering of Jesus, but in a way, we have to love the narrative because without him going through this agony, we would have to bear our own sins. This is the absolute pinnacle of grace, receiving a gift that we do not deserve. I deserve to die for my own sins and you for yours, but Jesus says, "No, I died for you. I bore your sins that day. The price is paid. It's finished." That gift cost him everything. My goodness, how can I refuse it? How could I join those Roman soldiers and spit on him and mock him by refusing his gift? I cannot. With gratitude and with love, I humbly receive it, thankful for his infinite love for me, sinful, broken me. Beloved, I truly pray that you've met Jesus. I hope that you've received his gift. This terrible death we read about today was for you, too. If you've not accepted his gift to you of salvation, now is the time. You don't know if you'll have tomorrow. All you have is now. Tell Jesus that you accept his gift, that you know that you're a sinner, and because of his gift, you'll turn from sin and turn to him, believing that he died for you, paying the sacrifice that cleanses you from all your past and future failures. Do it now. And did you notice Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53? Have you given these two verses any thought? Here they are again. It says, "The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." Now, okay, I have to admit that the first images that come to my mind when I read these verses was heavily influenced by our culture's fascination with zombies and the TV show Walking Dead. So sue me, my brain is not 100% spiritual. I admit to being influenced sometimes by the media. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. Now, of course, the risen saints were nothing like zombies. We're told very little about them, but I'm quite sure that they looked exactly like they looked when they were alive the first time. Otherwise, what good would it have been for them to go into the holy city and have them appear to many people? So let's take a closer look at what happened here. Just after Jesus died, Scripture says that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and there was a great earthquake. Rocks were split, and tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Notice the timing here. After Jesus' resurrection, they went into the city. So, in keeping with prophecy, Jesus was the first to be resurrected, and then these saints. Jesus conquered the grave, not only for himself, but for all who put their trust in him. Now, as I studied this event, I found that there are several different opinions about who these people were. These are only opinions because we aren't told, but it is interesting to think about. Some think that it was the ancient patriarchs. Others think that they were believers from that time period, those who had seen Jesus but had died before he did. We just don't know. Also, some think that after these saints went into the city and showed themselves, they returned to their tombs. Others, that they were resurrected in the same type of body that Jesus did, to die no more. And when Jesus was taken up to heaven, they went with him. That we have such a small amount of information tells us that God wants us to focus, what? On the resurrected Christ. That we're given only this short mention tells us that the resurrection they experienced awaits us as well. That it was not only for Jesus. That death is not the end, but only the beginning of a brand new life. There is indeed life after death, beloved. Death is nothing to fear if we have put our trust in him. And let's talk a little bit about the Great Commission in chapter 28. What an important charge Jesus left with his disciples and us. Each of us share the responsibility to make disciples. The translation here really could be paraphrased, "As you go about your lives, tell others so that they will want to follow me too. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and tell them what I told you and teach them to obey me. Keep in mind that I am always with you right up to the end of this age." So, beloved, as you live your life, don't make it a secret that you're a Christian. Tell others about him as the Holy Spirit leads you. In today's culture, this is a very politically incorrect thing to do, but men's politics don't change God's word. We have the answer for what ails the world. We should proclaim the truth with boldness. Amen? All right, so what are your thoughts? Agree, disagree, questions, comments? Go to comment.lifespringmedia.com or email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or better yet, comment on the show notes page for this episode. Tomorrow we'll read 1 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4. This is a value for value show, and one way to contribute value to the show is to tell somebody about it. If you enjoy it, it seems to me that you would know at least one other person who would enjoy it too. Let them know. They might just thank you and say, "Why didn't you tell me about this sooner?" Give it a try. Another way to help out is to donate financially. The amount is up to you. My suggestion is that you ask the Lord what he would have you do, and then go right here.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
On this date, Huldrych Zwingli moved to Zurich. This is a turning point moment for the Reformation. Zwingli was a Swiss reformer, and he officially moved to Zurich on this date to become the people's priest at the Great Minster Church. This was the start of the Swiss Reformation. Zwingli did something radical. Instead of following the prescribed church calendar for his sermons, he announced that he would simply start at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and preach right through the entire New Testament, verse by verse. Does that sound at all familiar? He was actually a pioneer of the verse-by-verse Bible study that many people love today. And then also on this date in 1714, one of the most important figures in church history was born on this day. His name was George Whitefield. He was a leader in the Methodist movement and the primary spark of the first Great Awakening in the United States. He was famous for his booming voice. It was said that, listen to this, he could be heard by 30,000 people at once in an open field without a, well, obviously, without a microphone. One of my brothers-in-law has that kind of a voice. Just his normal speaking voice is very loud. He's not yelling, it is just loud, and I have no idea how loud it would be if he tried to project it. It's a very strong baritone that really does get your attention. It just fills a house. And by the time George Whitefield died, he had preached over 18,000 sermons. Can you believe that? That is just truly amazing. Please remember that tomorrow is Praises and Prayer Request Day.
When you send your prayer requests in, I will pray for you in my daily prayer time, and we'll pray together as a family on the show so that we can all agree together as we take our requests and praises to God. Send in your praises and prayer requests to prayer.lifespringmedia.com or the LifeSpring Family Hotline.
LifeSpring Family Hotline, 951-732-8511.
Thank you for making me a part of your day today, beloved. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.
LifeSpring Media, bringing the message of hope, love, and good news since 2004.
The LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind is a LifeSpring Media production hosted by Steve Webb, the OG Godcaster since 2004.